Hello and welcome to Freudian Quips, a WPRK 91.5 FM radio show dedicated to promoting mental health awareness through the examination of popular culture and global current events. I'm your co-host, Dr. Samuel Sanabria.
And I'm Dr. Derek Palladino.
Yes, and today we have a very, very special guest on our show.
I'm not a doctor.
You are not a doctor,
no.
But we have a very...
I will take your temperature, though.
You will. Okay. Oh, my goodness. We have a very celebrated female impersonator here today.
Interesting.
Yes. His name is... I'm going to start with your male persona, which is...
Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
What's my name, Sam?
It is Worthy Meacham. Worthy Paul Meacham.
An amazing name.
Yes. Worthy Paul Meacham the Third. But you are most known and most celebrated for your female persona,
ooh,
which is Mama.
Golly,
is that
jeepers.
Correct?
That's
yes.
It. Yes.
And that's who we have today on the station.
And
so
it's Mama the First, not the third.
Yeah, Mama the First. Yes, yes.
The one and only Mama.
Mama's talking loud. Mama's doing fine.
Okay. Now, Mama, if there's if you could indulge me for a minute and put a sock in it while I just go over.
He has a lot of things written down right now.
Yeah, so, I have a lot of things. So I want to introduce you to our listeners. Oh, I cannot forget.
We have an audience.
We are recording this podcast.
Live.
Well, live.
Full recorded.
In front of a live audience. Yes, and we have our... master's in clinical mental health counseling students, second year, yes, here at Rollins College, that are currently taking the human sexuality class that I'm teaching, and they are here listening, observing, and afterwards we'll have a nice Q&A session with Mama. So please say hello, everyone.
Hello.
That's wonderful.
There's not one boy in this room. Well, I mean, I guess the hosts are boys, but ladies, thank God you're here.
All right. So let me go ahead and give our listeners and our guests here a quick rundown of your accomplishments and who you are, Mama.
Who am I?
Yes, who are you? Okay, so... let's see. I have written down a few things that I have gathered about you on the internet and a variety of different websites. But let's start with some film productions and TV shows and so forth. You've been in 3 documentaries. You've been in 3 short films, 7 featured films. You have been on several TV shows, like one of my absolute favorites, Will and Grace. And you have been in countless music videos, and you've done, this is very impressive, but you've done opera as well. And you were in a production by Franco Zeffirelli.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is the name?
It's Pagliacci, and I just celebrated my 20th anniversary doing that production. I've actually performed that 12 times.
Wow, wonderful.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Okay, awesome.
I'm just not pretty.
You're just not
thing.
A pretty face.
Face, yes, I'm talented too.
Well, also, you have done a lot of charity work too. You have been a wonderful advocate for the LGBT community and for women as well. So you have helped fundraise for AIDS service organizations, for several of them. So for youth service groups such as the Trevor Project, the Gay and Lesbian Adolescent Social Services, and the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network, and a variety of breast cancer charities. And you have raised over $9 million for these charities as well. You've won 5 WeHo, which is West Hollywood Awards, for your performance as Mama. You are known in the community because you live in Los Angeles. You're known in the community as a leader. You've worked with many churches. This is what I'm really happy about and impressed is that you've worked with churches to build bridges between the Christian churches and the LGBT community. And you've also been invited to the White House under the Clinton administration, and you worked for many years for the for Bob Mackie, a costume designer, a celebrated and award-winning costume designer.
All true.
All true. Did we miss anything, Mama?
Probably, but you know, I'm fine here. I'm still being heard.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
We didn't miss any other accomplishments.
That was a lot.
Yeah, that's
amazing.
I really don't keep track of things. I do.
Well, Sam, this is his diary that he keeps.
Yeah. This is my love mama diary right here. So every accomplishment you make, I write it down.
So I guess, you know, I've done everything you can do in a theatrical, you know, one of the things you didn't mention really is theater. I've done a lot more theater shows than anything else. And I've done a lot more television shows that are listed out there. I don't know how many I've done.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I became an actor in 1969, a professional SAG member in 1969. So I've worked for decades.
So was that the year that you were born? You worked really young.
Oh, no, no, no. I was born in 1939.
Oh, wow.
The year
you look great.
Gone with the Wind came out.
That's awesome. Okay. So, all right. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Mama.
I'm really thrilled to be here.
We are thrilled to have you. This is quite an honor to have you here. And you've traveled how many miles to be here today?
3,000 miles.
Yes. Yes. And so thank you very much. Let's go ahead and start because we want to get to know you a little bit more. And
getting to know me.
Absolutely. This is perhaps, you know, for some listeners, this is the first time that they've ever really got connected with somebody who is a female impersonator. Okay, so can you start off by sharing with us, how did you get started as Mama?
Well, I think we'll get into more of this story later on, but I was a very drag-phobic person. I would see a drag queen and run, and I realized one day I have to deal with my fear. So I said, I'm going to go to a big drag event and dress up. And I went with literally 14 friends, and they had a big contest that night. I got pulled out of the audience to be in the contest. I won the contest, and that's how Mama got started that night. They said, well, what's your name? And I said, well, sweetheart, I'm old enough to be your mother. And the MC said, who wants Mama to be in the contest? And the audience went crazy, and that's how I got my name.
Oh, wow.
So what was your fear, your initial fear?
Well, I became a born-again Christian in high school, and I was told almost immediately that I could not be gay. So in the early 80s, I was one of the first people to start attending an ex-gay therapy group to try to cure me of my homosexuality. And while you go through therapy, they try to tell you the reason why you're gay is because you like feminine things. So to make yourself be butch, you can't embrace any feminine things. Mm-hmm. And I think there's, you know, being a drag queen is probably the most feminine thing you could embrace. And so I just was fearful that drag queens were demonic and that they would make me gayer.
Mm. So these were the messages that you received. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was gay enough.
Yeah. Looking at you, it's very hard to believe that you were ever phobic.
Yeah.
You know,
much so.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So these were the messages that you received growing up from your church, from your community, and you wanted to not be that. And so you.
Well, and remember, I am older. And so homosexuality was still viewed as a mental illness in many ways. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and when I was a teenager, I got told that if I became a homosexual, I would be mentally ill, that I would grow old and die alone, and I would become an alcoholic, a drug addict, because I would be so miserable.
Yeah.
So who wants to be homosexual when you're going to live a horrible life?
Yeah. And that was the reality for a lot of gay people.
And the reason why I stayed in the closet for as long as I did was something called AIDS. Mm-hmm. Because all my friends died of AIDS that were my connection to the gay community right when the crisis started. So I just saw that homosexuality equaled death.
Right. So this was a very scary time.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was a survival thing for you too.
Sure. Yeah. Well, and then I also had a really, I thought a very kind and loving community that supported me, which I look back now and I just did whatever they wanted me to be, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and I really was never myself. The nice thing is that I'm in touch with a lot of these people now. There's something called the Facebook and the people find you and you, you know, I'm very out. I'm very loud mm-hmm. and I never back down. And I've really regained some really precious friendships. When I tell people, you know, I was a really funny person and fun person during that time, but I was just really depressed and miserable and suicidal. But nobody saw that because I had a smile on, I was bouncy and blah, blah, blah. So, and that's the people that they thought I was, mm-hmm. but, you know, but I wasn't that person. So when I talk to them and say, look, during that time I was trying to kill myself and doing all these things, they're like, wow, had no idea.
Right. So, and you were masking all of these feelings
yes.
through humor. You were right. using yes. humor.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because you are talking to two therapists right now and mm-hmm. we are secretly and lovingly analyzing you right now.
And so we have just, couches.
Too, yeah, we have so, couches.
I know. You know. I, know. Yeah, I was yeah. on it earlier. It was a little lumpy.
Yeah, I do appreciate you being so open and honest about your life. This is really good, very important for people to hear. I'm just curious about your involvement in the church, because you said that you were involved and you received all these messages, but what drew you to the church and that community?
Well, you know, here's my testimonial. Mm-hmm. I was raised Catholic. And molested by a priest. I was one of those lucky ones. I've not gotten the millions of dollars, which I should probably do, but I haven't done that. Mm-hmm. But I really felt a connection with God when I was in church. And when I got pulled out of church, I really felt a loss of that. And through a series of, I believe, miracles, I became reconnected with Jesus and had a born again experience. I'm one of those. Mm-hmm. Watch out. Mm-hmm. And my life changed overnight. My life, I had a real conversion. I really had a really amazing time. And so I wanted, it was the first time in my life that I was really joyful. You know, happiness comes and goes, but joyful is a great place to live in. And so I just wanted to do whatever these people who made me joyful do. Mm-hmm. So that's how I became involved in ex-gay ministry and, you know, trying to live up to their expectations of what I'm supposed to do and supposed to be.
Yeah.
And then through a series of circumstances, within a month period, 4 week time, I found out that all these leaders within the ex-gay community that were in my area were lying about everything that they were talking about. Mm-hmm. Because I had become a confidant to a lot of them. I was a minister of 5 years at that time, 10 years at that time. I'd been pastoring a church for 10 years and they, you know, confided in all this stuff with me. And I thought, this is a big lie. Mm. This is a lie. You know, I believe that people really want to be healed by Jesus. I don't think he will do that. Mm-hmm. I know hundreds of people that I went through ex-gay therapy with, and some of them are married and some of them are in committed monogamous relationships with their wives, but they would love to have sex with men. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like being an alcoholic. You're never cured of alcoholism, really. You know, you're a sober alcoholic. And these people are sober homosexuals, but if they were healed, then they would be healed.
Right.
You yeah. know,
that was the message that was being sent
right.
to them.
Yeah. And so personally for me, I didn't want to play that game. I didn't want to not be my authentic self.
Mm-hmm. See, that must have been very hard for you being a gay person. Mm-hmm. And so having that part of you being that you made the decision because yeah. you were involved in this to push down.
Right.
And then you had an awakening moment
right.
when you realized, wait a minute, you know, here are my leaders. Here right. are the, you know, the church leaders yeah. who themselves are still perhaps right. engaging in gay activities, are still right. struggling with those feelings as well. Right. So you didn't see that cureness
right.
happen.
Right. No, okay. Not at all. And so then, I still haven't. You know,
okay. Yeah. You know? Yeah. So then you had that awakening moment.
Right.
Did you, it was at that time that you just pulled out of the church?
I did.
Yeah.
Yes.
And what
I just
happened?
Had, yeah. I just had to stop living for everybody else.
And live for yourself, yes.
And said, who, because at that time, I had no idea who I was.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, because I'd never allowed myself to be myself.
Yeah.
Were the, I mean, Mama, I'm wondering how long it took for you from this awakening to make that decision to move away from it.
Within days, believe it or not.
So it was quick for you.
It was only because there were people coming after me that were trying to destroy me. I had a very successful ministry. And a lot of people were, I would say, jealous of my ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And they were trying to find dirt on me to destroy me. And so they didn't find any dirt. So they created rumors.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm not going to. I saw other people in my area being taken down by these rumors that weren't true. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to play this game.
Yeah.
So taken down meaning what?
Taking like their ministry, their livelihood, their community.
Right.
And so I just disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
I literally like moved and had no forwarding address for.
So what did you do during this period where you moved and kind of disappeared from the church?
Well, I became a temp. For one, I had mm-hmm. been running nonprofit organizations for a long time, so I knew the business world. I knew how to do that. And so I became an executive secretary for a large automobile company.
Okay. Okay. But you were not involved with the church?
No.
You did? Okay.
No.
And how did you work towards embracing who you were? Because you had this enlightenment and you were tired of living your life for other people.
Well, I didn't become sexual. I didn't go mm-hmm. out and fool around for a long time. It was really all about just being honest, you know. I still have never like smoked marijuana,
mm-hmm.
you know. I've never taken any drug. I drink rarely. When I'm around you, Sam, I drink. And, you know, so my quote Christian values, I still keep very close to me. And the reason why I've been able to raise, it's now over $10 million that I've raised.
Oh,
but the reason why I do that is because of my commitment to giving back to my community.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Are you now reconnected with God?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm a Jesus freak again.
Well, you went to theology school.
Yes.
Yeah. Was this after you?
No, no.
I was a pastor. You were there. Okay. So you went to theology school.
Yeah.
You were involved with the ex-gay ministry
mm-hmm.
and then you had your awakening. You left and you.
No. Yeah. Ex-gay. You, and then I became an ex-gay.
Okay. So what? Yeah. Then tell us what brought you back to the church.
Well, you know, I have to say Jesus, you know, mm-hmm. I know that a lot of people out there listening are, you know, don't believe in this type of faith and all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
but I've had, you know, I had a real connection and I still have a real connection. I feel very connected with God all the time. Yeah. So,
yeah.
So it sounds like theology school and having God be a part of your life was something very congruent for you through your entire life. And it was more of a message from the individuals within the community.
Correct.
That pushed you
yeah.
away.
Yeah, you know, I really had like, I would say a word from the Holy Spirit saying that I never asked you to be straight. I just asked you to love me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was where I found wholeness in my walk.
Yeah, I have to say, because I find this so amazing that you did go back, because I know for a lot of people, they
right.
would have been angry. They would
right.
have, they would have been angry at God
right.
and just
right.
not have gone back.
Yeah.
But you know, especially since you've had the experience of molestation and then you were going through the ministry, you had people turn on you
yeah.
and you knew that they were not being congruent and living their true selves. That would make a lot of people very, angry, I would say, but you really looked beyond that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. and I see people lost.
Yeah.
You know, in that and being miserable.
Yeah.
You know, what is that doing for your life except making you miserable? But I forgave. I didn't forget. but I forgave and I moved on, you know, and
So then you got involved in the ex-gay. Yeah. What is that?
Well, it's for people that go through ex-gay therapy that realize that that therapy is BS.
And a lot of people get emotionally scarred.
Very scarred. Yeah.
So exactly. They need to have treatment after going through something
they
like
do,
that.
They do. And it's nice to have a community that knows exactly what you went through.
Yeah.
I really am not a part of that community as much because I've really moved on, you know, and but there's some people that, you know, it's really interesting because last year I went to a conference and everybody, there was nobody under maybe 35 at the conference. It was mostly people in their 40s and 50s because that's when the ex-gay thing hit my generation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and so people are still trying to work it out, what they were put through and the lies that they were given. And, you know, they're still dealing with their family. And people, their community around them saying, why can't you be like this?
Right.
You know, and they feel, they feel horrible about who they are.
Well, we have a clip of you talking. This is your ministry that you were involved with when you went back. You're talking to, what's the name of the organization?
Evangelicals Concerned.
Evangelical Concerned, and you did a performance, and you, I'm just going to play a very small clip.
I wanted to play the whole performance, but he said no.
Yeah, no, well.
I don't want you to play the whole performance, too. I don't want to fall asleep.
But let's play just a few seconds of this clip, because this is you talking to...
the audience. Yeah, there
the
was
audience.
About, like, there was like 600 people.
600 and people, and these are people who were part of the ex-gay movement, so you're helping to heal...
Right.
Okay, go ahead.
So then we will put this clip also online. Mm-hmm. Those of you in the room cannot hear the clip, but you can go online later and hear it.
It's brilliant. Always remember, honey, you can't find this crap at Kmart or Walmart. I wanted to end the show tonight because I wanted that song to maybe sink into you a little bit. We've had fun tonight. Conference is something that I've been attending for 13 years, and it really saved my life. I was on the verge of suicide when I came to Connection, and it was the first time that I was able to combine my sexuality and my spirituality. And I know that some of you have experienced that this weekend. And we are thankful that you're here and that your lives are turning around, because you see that Christ is in our midst every time we get together. Right. And he has not forsaken us. But there's others here tonight.
Okay, we'll stop there. That's wonderful that you were sharing your own experience, and you were very open about being suicidal and severely depressed. And you made it, and you were there in front of all these people, showing support and being a model for them. And you did mention how you went through a process reconciling your gay identity, your affectional orientation, with your spirituality. Mm-hmm. How was that process for you?
Well, you know, I think that no matter where you come from, kids, this is what you can learn from this, is that when you are not whole, you feel broken, feel shattered, you feel empty in portions of your life. And when you're able to put who you are together, like Humpty Dumpty, then you feel whole and you can move forward with your life. But it's hard to move forward when you're fractured.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and so when I was able to be a whole person, that allowed me to be at peace with who I am, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The nice thing about my life is I go to bed every night with no worries ever.
Right.
You know, the other thing is that I stopped living in the what ifs. I don't let the what ifs control me. I woke up for decades worrying about the what ifs, and I was miserable.
That must have been so liberating for you to go from the what ifs, suicidal depression, denying who you were, to embracing yourself and having this wonderful, you know, experience of enlightenment. But, you know, I've known you for, I don't know how many years, 10 years yeah. more, maybe
10 years.
And what I love about you is how strong you are and how resilient you are. Mm. You know, of course, people will go up through ups and downs in their lives, and you as well, I know that you have, yeah. and you stay very strong and very positive.
Yes.
Very good. Yeah.
Yeah. What occurred to me, was you went through a couple of very pivotal moments in your life. One was being able to work through those fractures to feel whole and genuine and strong. And the second part was being able, because some people don't get to the second part, which is taking that strength and now sharing with other people and helping and guiding other people.
Right. Yeah. You know, one of the things I love about Mama is that I say, well, if God can use this, then He can use you, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, when I set out to help friends, my goal was never to raise millions of dollars. I just knew that my friends needed help. And so I asked people for help and they gave it to me because I have integrity. I'm a person that people trust, and you know, that allows you to move forward and do things with your life.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, you know, I have letters and emails from young people who have not committed suicide because of something that I said while I was at their school or at an assembly or, you know, at a conference or at a gay pride.
Yeah. You do a lot of work with young people. I mean, you're part of, I know you mentioned to me that you go to this conference called True Colors.
I haven't been in a couple of years, but
yeah. And that's working with the LGBT.
Well, it's
LGBT
the world's
youth.
Largest youth gay, GLBT, yeah. ABCD, EFG, yeah. you know.
The alphabet soup. Yeah, fantastic. But you do wonderful work there. I mean, when you would go there, yeah.
You know, I am encouraged by these young people. You know, and you know, you're in eighth grade and you're doing what?
Yeah.
You know, you're standing up. It's so great.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
A friend of mine, in high school named Randy, committed suicide on his 18th birthday because he was gay and Christian.
Yeah.
And so it's sort of my journey trying to stop as many of those suicides as possible. As you know, or hopefully you know, America is one of the few places in the world where teen suicide is the number one cause of death. Mm. And a large majority of those kids are killing themselves because they have GLBTQA issues.
Absolutely. They've been bullied.
Bullied. Their
absolutely,
parents,
yes.
Their religion. Mm-hmm. You know, there was this one kid that shot himself at the mortuary so that his parents wouldn't have to take his body to the mortuary.
Wow. Very sad. Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yeah. Very, very tragic.
Yeah.
And it's a shame that that's still going on today.
Yeah. Every day.
Even after all of these positive changes that we have seen for LGBT.
Yeah. It's, you know, as I'm listening to you speak, the people who hear you, the children who or adolescents who hear you just must feel so lucky to be able to share a voice. Mm. with you. And I just think it's, you know, it touches me. It's very amazing work that you're doing, allowing to put yourself, you're putting yourself out there for other people and sort of help them through their pain, their struggles.
Well, and here's the message. How hard is that to do? It's not hard at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just wonder why more people aren't doing more.
Right.
You know,
I agree. Yeah.
It takes an airplane ticket. It takes this, it takes that, you know?
Mm-hmm. You are honestly one of the most giving persons that I know. And I remember early on in our relationship, in our friendship, you were really involved in friends' lives who were struggling with addiction.
Mm.
I remember you taking them into your own home.
Yeah.
And giving them a place to stay as opposed to being out in the streets and allowing them to heal and recover in your own home.
You know,
and I don't know many people who would do that.
Well, you know, and I'm not a saint at all.
Oh, believe me, I know. Yes, I know.
You've seen the videos.
Yes, I have.
But, you know, I've had over 500 people live with me.
Yeah.
And only one person stole from me out of 500 people.
Mm, okay.
You know, because when your heart is in the right place and they see your integrity and, you know, they don't want to hurt you. They don't want,
they see that you care for them, right, and you're being very genuine, right, and they don't want to.
No.
Yeah. Okay. Let's,
what's next?
Yeah. I want to shift gears because I want to talk about Mama, the persona.
Yeah.
And what's that transformation like?
Because the studio audience can see there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah, there is. I mean, there's, yeah.
Yeah. I'm curious about the experience that through this transformation that you have.
Well, let me say that, oh my God, it's the best therapy I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
All my fears.
But we're out of jobs.
Yeah. Right. You know, all my issues have been solved by putting on a dress and a wig. It's amazing because I faced my biggest fears and walked through life not being scared of anything. I've been to many I hosted a gay pride where the police put a bulletproof vest underneath my costume because I had 8 death threats that people were going to shoot me, kill me.
Right.
You know? And,
incredible.
Yeah. You know, I just move forward, you know, fine. I also believe that God protects me, you know, in that. But this has become such a spiritual
show. It has. I wasn't expecting it to go to this deep in the spiritual level.
Let's talk about sex. No, but, you know,
But what's empowering about Mama? I mean, you said that, you know, you've experienced such empowerment when you put on the dress. What is it about the dress? What is it about the makeup and the hair and the nails and all of that stuff? What does it do to you?
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing is has nothing to do about a dress or a wig or makeup or anything. It's about the persona that I've created. And people love her and they want to talk to her and they want to tell her secrets and or joys and all that stuff. And it's my honor to listen to them and to celebrate with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that just helps you get out of your own mind.
You know, it's funny because a lot of people I know in the gay community are afraid of drag queens, let's say, because
and they should be. They bite.
They're afraid because a lot of drag queens can be vicious, you know, but they're joking. It's about humor. It's about comedy. Yeah, humor-ish and comedy-ish, you know, and a lot of times there's, you know, attacks and embarrassments and they go after you and they, you know, can get very sexual quickly, you know, in their jokes and so forth. But that's not who you are. I mean, you're Mama. You are a, you know, a very comforting person. And a lot of people feel comfortable around you and really love to be around you.
Well, you know, part of the business is you have to be some of that, you know, like I do clubs at like the House of Blues and there's like 1,200, 2,000 people and they want to hear the drag queen being lewd and crazy and blue and all that stuff. And so I can pull that out.
You can. You know? And I've seen you do it, but you do it in a way that's still very loving and comforting, you know, in the name of Jesus, you know, it's like, you know, it's like, I'm crude, blah, 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 in the name of Jesus, you know.
Well, you know, the great thing about my life in doing this is that I had years of improvisational training. And so it allows me, I never, one of the things in improv is that you lower your boundaries and you just open up and you allow yourself to just speak.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it is the most horrible things. Things that Worthy would never think or say out loud ever.
Yeah, yeah.
But Mama, she just, and it's funny.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. The funny thing is that the thing that I'm proud about is that heterosexual men, 90% of the time, are not offended by Mama. They think Mama's funny and fun and humorous, you know?
Yeah.
And their wives love it even more, you know? So,
hey, my brother-in-law loved you last night.
Long time.
Yeah, I was questioning my brother, like, why is he, like, next to you the whole time? But he was so attracted to you. He just loved being around you and your energy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. But you know, it's funny because, you know, looking at you and you're
beautiful,
beautiful, absolutely beautiful. You know, you are, you know, dressed in a very conservative outfit, you know?
Well, I'm on campus.
Yeah, you are on campus.
At Rollins.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I have never seen you.
This is my high school musical outfit, by the way.
Yeah, we look.
High school musical.
I have never seen you dress provocatively, you know, where it's hyper-sexualized.
Come to Dory Alley next year.
I will. Am I invited?
Sure.
Okay.
I love that one person in the room knows all about it. Yes.
Who is it? Oh, okay. Very good. Yes. Yes. I see that.
I have a question. So yeah. The empowerment that you feel now, is it the same elevated than the first time you felt it? The first time you were crowned
mama.
You know?
Well, it has grown. But I don't think it's really changed that much. Mm-hmm. I don't think that it's a higher level of empowerment. I think a better word is freedom,
sure.
You know,
uh-huh.
And I'm empowered to be free.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, I did in Kansas, God bless them. there are people in the state of Kansas that have AIDS and HIV. But there's only one, at the time, there was only one AIDS center in Wichita, Kansas. So if you had
served the state,
you had to drive all the way to Wichita to get your medication mm-hmm. and your checkups and all that stuff. And so I was asked to do a big fundraiser for this group. And all the people involved with it were amazing. And most of them were all heterosexual people who had gay friends that had died of AIDS. And it was a total honor to be a part of this. But when I go out for fundraising, I do a thing called Martinis with Mama. And what we do is we get an alcohol vendor to donate vodka. And then we bring mixers and we ask people to pay like $75 to $100 and they get all the cocktails that they want and they can have pictures with me and, you know, and I do private little performances for a small group of people and it raises a lot of money for because mm-hmm. we also sell nice things at the point. So after the event, I said, I need to go eat. Where can we go out to eat? And I was dressed as Mama and they said, well, we can go through a drive-thru, but no restaurant in the city will allow you to come in.
Wow.
And I said, well, I'm not going to eat Jack in the Box or whatever. I go, no, we're going to go to a restaurant. So we went to a restaurant and everybody was very nervous about me going
mm-hmm.
to the,
I can imagine.
But when I got to the restaurant, the hostess, this cute little 16-year-old girl was, you know,
mm-hmm.
what
mm-hmm.
Dragzilla has entered the restaurant. And the owner came and he said, oh my God, your mama, come on in. And because he had seen advertisement for this event. And so they did put me in the back room with a whole bunch of people. But people from the restaurant that were in the front part all migrated. They all wanted to be with the drag queen.
Yeah.
And there was football players from the university there that specifically came just to have their picture taken with me. There was not one negative moment.
Yes.
On that visitation to that restaurant. And the owner loved it because he made a lot of money.
Yeah.
So, but you know, it's like you have to take risks.
You do. And you'd be surprised by what the outcome would be.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now I have a question because I was talking to Derek earlier today and he asked, as far as your persona, whether you are a drag queen. And I said, no, she's not a drag queen. She's a female impersonator. But you've been using... Yeah.
So I coined
go
the
ahead.
Thing.
Tell me, what's the difference?
Well,
what's the difference?
I say, well, Mama's a gender illusionist.
Oh, there you go.
And what's the difference? Drag queens get free cocktails at their bar. Mama gets apartment buildings. I've made very good money doing this.
Mm-hmm,
and that,
absolutely.
Everyone's like, what's your motivation?
Mm-hmm.
Money.
So we have to pay you now? We give you water, and we got you strawberries.
Yeah, you know, I have to say that Dr. Sam is taking very good care of me.
Good to hear.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, it's really my honor to be here. You know, it's
Well, let's
go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I was going to say let's talk a little bit about you know, the difference of gender expression, because you refer to yourself as a gender illusionist.
Yes.
And then, you know, in our society, we're hearing a lot more of these different forms of gender expression.
Yes.
And of course, we've all heard of Caitlyn Jenner,
Caitlyn Jenner,
who came out as a trans person.
Yes.
And so I know that there's so many people out there who really do not know the difference. They do not know. They would say as easily refer to Caitlyn as a drag queen
or
as a transgender person, but they're not the same thing. Can you share a little bit about
I can share a little bit.
Yeah,
I think that all three of us go over this because it gets confusing. But people think because a man puts on a dress, they are one thing. You know, they're all the above. Like, people think that I want a vagina and that I want certain things that women have and that I just really want to be a woman. And I would love to be a woman. I think women are the most special things on this planet.
But you're happy being a man.
But I'm not a woman and I don't want a vagina. And, you know, I'm just a person that found a female character inside of myself and allow that to come out.
Yeah.
And then there's certain men that really have a fetish for wearing female clothing and they love it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now ladies, how many of you really like to wear high heels? Fantastic.
Well, how many? Cause I can't see behind me.
Yeah. Like, what, three?
Three, yeah. Okay,
three.
Oh, wow,
you know,
three.
I mean, high heels are horrible. You know, they're painful. I mean, your legs look fantastic in it. I get it. But how many people love wearing pantyhose? Pantyhose are restrictive. They're hot. They're itchy. They're not fun. But a transvestite puts on a pair of, you know, stockings, and their eyes roll to the back of their head and they have an orgasm.
They are sexually aroused by that cross-gender dressing.
And they just love it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They just love it. I mean, I have friends that are the biggest, manliest men.
They're happy and satisfied with their assigned sex or assigned gender. It's just that they get aroused by wearing women's clothing or, you know, and
it brings them a lot of joy more than just arousal.
And for you, this is a job. This is a performance that you do because you don't wake up in the morning looking, look beautiful no matter what, but you don't live your life as mama.
No, you only see me wearing this when I'm getting a paycheck.
Yes,
literally.
Right. Or doing us a favor.
Well,
yes.
No,
but it's a job, but it's also an expression of freedom for you.
And it's an art form.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I don't think I look like any woman in this room at all. And they would all agree. but it's a create, you know, this outfit is sort of fun and hysterical and cute. You know, and that's what I try to do when I'm putting my outfits together is something that's a hyper art form of the feminine world.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and I have big breasts because I weighed 120 pounds more when I started this. And so I had to have big breasts to have a waist. And unfortunately, I have hundreds of costumes that have these boobs. And so either it's paying $1 million to have them all refitted or put on a bodysuit. Because I have a bodysuit on right now to fill me out more.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it looks fantastic. And I know a lot of people are drawn to your Boops. Yes. Or,
yes. Do we have to cut that out?
No. Okay.
You know, I was. We've been talking a lot about you, and
let's talk about me now.
let's refocus on the people over here. No, I'm curious to know because about your family. Because I'm sure they were, they impacted your journey in some way. And I don't know when or where, but I'm just wondering if you feel okay talking about that.
Of course. There's literally nothing I can't talk about. There's no line. Most of it you can't put on the radio, though.
Oh, okay.
So the interesting thing is that both my parents, my mother and my father, their best friends in life were gay men. But nobody wants to have as a son. Because what does that say about you? That says that you've done something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so their best friends were gay men, and there was gay men in the house, and everyone knew I was gay, but my parents did not want me to be gay. Not for my personal happiness, but for their embarrassment of creating a gay child.
Mm.
When I was 3 years old, I remember this. This is one of the only few memories that I remember when I was that young. But somebody said to me, what do you want to be when you grow up? A fireman, a policeman? I said, I want to be a ballerina at 3 years old. You know, I love people who say that this is a choice, because that choice was made for me long before I could make choices, you know. And I didn't. Become a ballerina. I have toe shoes and everything. So
wait, did you? You said?
Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, it was hard for them. And then my father had died by the time I started doing drag. And my mother said to me, she goes, do you want to be a girl? What's going on? If you want to be a girl, fine, I'll love you. Either way, but... And again, you know, people just don't get it.
Mm.
People just don't get the difference between being a transgendered person or being a transvestite or being a gender illusionist.
Right. Yeah.
So, my family, a lot of my relatives, when I came out, because I was a born again Christian pastor with a very successful ministry, and they loved that. Mm-hmm. And then when I came out, they were like, you've turned your back on God, and we're going to turn our back on you.
Mm.
And one of the things that I'm proud about is that my mother had died, and my family was just talking crap about me. And so I invited everybody over to the house, and I had a big dinner catered for all my naysayer relatives. And they were like, why are we all coming? Like, oh, I just want to make dinner for you.
How many people?
There was 18.
18.
18 people. And they had been talking crap behind my back for decades. And I said, just, you know, before we sit down to eat, I just want to say something. I said, this is what I'm going to say. If you want to continue being in my life, then you have to accept me for who I am. If you can't do that, I want you bleep, 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 yes, out of my life.
Okay.
I don't need you bleep, bleep people in my life, you know? And so it's today is the beginning of the end for us, or the beginning of the new beginning. But if I hear you talking crap about me anymore, then I'm going to tell you. And then I went through everybody at the table, and I told them why they had no right to talk to me that way because of all the crap they have in their own life.
Mm.
And so, you know, don't try to take the splinter out of my eye when you have a log in yours.
Wow. Okay.
And so about half the table left. And one of the proud moments was that I had the catering company pack up to-go bags for everybody. So as they were leaving, they got food to go because I'm a great hostess.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. You got to maintain that.
But here's the thing is that the matriarch of my family at the time, we called her Auntie. She was 90 years old, and she stood up and she said, I totally respect you. If I hear any crap, I will always defend you. And that was the one person I thought I was going to have the most trouble with. But she became, you know, my thing. And then people saw what I was doing with my drag and all that stuff and all the money that I was raising. They'd see me on TV at special events and all that, you know, and I was doing far more than any of their kids were doing, you know, so they, you know, and then my great aunt, one of the pleasures of my life, I would take her. So I worked for Bob Mackie, the costume designer, and I would take beautiful Bob Mackie beaded gowns and beaded suits and put them on my anorexic aunt. And I would, I bought her a push-up bra. I did all this stuff. I did professional makeup and hair on her. And I would take her to these gay bars with me. And I would be doing a show and I would say, oh.
I'm having a visual here. It's awesome. Yeah.
I would say, hey, everyone, I'm so glad to be here. I'm just kind of embarrassed. I just had to say something before I get started. See that old woman in the back right there? She's my great aunt. She's worth millions of dollars. And if I take her out, then I'm in the will. And as soon as I don't take her out, I'm out of the will. So I had to take her out everywhere. So if you could do me a favor and just be nice to her, you know, and people would be like, don't talk to her that way. And she would have the best night of her life. And we did that for about 5 years until she really couldn't stay up that late and do all that stuff anymore. But for 5 years, honey, she would sit in the back, go, and cry. And it was a whole act. It was amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was great.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah. How are we doing on time?
We have about 9 minutes.
9 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. So Mama, what, okay. Cause we do have to close up, but I want to, check in with you to see if there's anything.
I'm still here.
Yeah. Check in with
you.
And I know you're still here, but is there anything that you would like before we close would like to, have our listeners know about,
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, I don't do this because I am, you know, drawn to it per se. I'm just really good at it, but, and humble. But, you know, the reason why my life has been successful is because I said no to my fears and I moved forward.
Right.
And I stopped living in the what ifs and I stopped living for other people. And if you can find yourself and love yourself and have the freedom to do whatever you want to do, then that's going to make you happy and the people around you are going to be happy. Mm. And in that, then you have the freedom to take time to help other people because you're not so obsessed about your personal issues. So I would challenge everybody to just start loving yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And how you do that is by facing your fear. Don't let other people tell you who you are. Don't live in the what ifs. Live in the now and, you know, give it up. Just give it up.
Mm, I love that message. Yes.
Yeah. And just, you know, move forward. People are wondering why their life isn't better. And it's because you're stuck. You're too afraid to maybe to move your career. Mm-hmm. Or move from the city or move out of a relationship. There's so many interesting things. There was a moment in time, like we'll talk about the Bible for a second, where people got married at 14 and they would die at 28.
Mm.
You know, so you had, you know, 14 years together. And so that was a marriage. But life is different now in this modern age. And maybe you marry somebody or you're in a relationship for a season. And that season comes to end, but you still hang on because you've been told that you'll be a disgrace if you let that go. And there's, you know, so I'm talking about a relationship, but we can use that in careers. We can use that in places that we live. We can use that, but there's a season for everything. And when it's over, it is over. And that orbit's never going to come back again.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as you can jump out and move forward to the next part of your chapter, then that's when you're going to start living.
Love it.
And you know, and I'm not saying that run away from, you know, your relationship just because it's hard. Maybe it's hard and that's what you need to do.
Yeah.
But maybe the season that you had having children with that person is over with. And as soon as the children are gone, you need to move forward and have a nicer life.
Yeah. I absolutely understand.
So when you live for your husband or your wife or your children or your parents, there's so many people out there that don't come out or don't tell people who they really are because they're afraid of embarrassing their parents. Well, you know, too bad. They can get over it.
Yeah.
My last thing, my soapbox is, and this is my mantra, is when we don't tell people who we really are, all we're telling people is that we're ashamed of who we are.
Wow.
And so stop living in fear and shame and learn to be happy and joyful and being a light. You know, if not, then just kill yourself. I don't care.
Yeah, no. Well, no, you are,
don't do that.
There are people people in this room that will help you stop that. I will not.
And well, yes, you will.
What I like about what you said and what's really hitting me is there's a moment where you found this, but you hoping for other people too to give themselves permission to find themselves.
Right. And in that being giving themselves permission to fail. We live in a society where we have to be right all the time.
Right. And not to be afraid to fail.
Right.
Right. Because that can prevent us from moving forward, as you were talking about. Right.
And well, yeah.
Yeah. Let me tell you, I have known you for so many years and you have been a light in my life. I'm always happy to see you, to be with you. We always have fun. And I am so happy that you were able to be here today on the Freudian Quips show.
It's been amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And to share so much about you and who in your experience with us. Yeah.
And I said this last night, but I'll say it again.
Yeah.
Sam has been one of the few people in my life that has taught me so much, because I say a lot of crap. And he comes around and he gives me the most insightful, truthful message that has really helped me become a better person. Thank you for that.
Well, I thank you because you helped me become a better person by giving me your energy and your force. So thank you.
It's nice to meet you, I guess, right?
I'm sorry, who are you?
No, I mean, Sam has talked so much about you, Mama, and it's really a pleasure to be able to sit next to you and hear you talk and just have a conversation. It was amazing.
Well, thank you.
All right.
Thank you. And again, one last time, you know, you don't have to be the smartest person in the world. You don't have to be the wealthiest person in the world. You can just be who you are, and you're going to touch people.
Appropriately.
Yeah. All appropriately.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Mama.
And that's another episode, episode 21 of Freudian Quips. So now that means something, 21, I guess.
I guess we can drink now.
Yeah, WPRK 91.5 FM, the best in basement radio. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. Write into us and be a part of our doctor's notes section. Until next time, I'm Dr. Palladino.
And I'm Dr. Sanabria.
And
Mama.
Be mentally healthy in word to your edible complex.
Listening to WPRK
91.5 FM.
The best
in basement radio.
WPRK.
WPRK.
Yes, it's recording. Okay.